Well, good morning to all of you. Greet you all in Jesus' name. Good to be gathered here with saints and those that are seeking God and who are endeavoring to follow Jesus. I was blessed by the song we sang, Tell It to Jesus. He's a friend that's well known, someone that we can come to and bring our joys and our sorrows and tell it to him. For a text, you can turn to Malachi chapter 3. We'll look at a few verses in Malachi chapter 3. Appreciate our brother's devotions this morning about the threshold of another year. My thoughts were similar as I prepared this message. It's at this time of the year, as we wrap up a year and look forward to another year, at least for myself, that I tend to summarize how the year went and maybe take a little inventory of the changes and situations and developments that happened in the year. And sometimes we look at a year and say, well, this year was a really good year. We were blessed this year. And even though we have challenges, we're all blessed people. And other times we look at a year and say, well, it's good to move forward into another year. And there's things that we went through and situations that we're glad to have maybe behind us. And the reality of life is that we go through things and significant life changes or trying circumstances, things that we're not sure what the meaning of is or how it fits into what God wants us to do. And maybe there's times we question the meaning of what's going on in my life. And as I considered that, I was led to this passage, and maybe the question that is top of mind in this sermon is, what is the purpose of the challenges and difficulties that we experience? And what should be my attitude towards the tough things and the trying things that I go through? And so I want to look at this passage, this account, and then make it practical for our lives today as we think about life and the things we go through. I've titled this message, The Refiner's Fire. Malachi chapter 3, I want to read verses 1 through 4. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. Now, the context of this is this chapter, this book of Malachi, is written by the prophet Malachi to the children of Israel. And he's the theme of the book is he's calling a disobedient people to repentance and to come back to God. And some of this is prophetic. Some of it's fulfilled. Maybe there's a future meaning. I don't want to spend too much time on the prophetic part of it, but rather look at this account and understand how he's portraying God as dealing with men, dealing with people. And he's speaking to them in this account of a time when God would deal directly with them. In verse 1, I believe he's talking about when John the Baptist would come. I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me. And then after that, the Lord would come. Jesus would come, whom you seek, the Messiah. He says he would suddenly come into his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come. So the Messiah is coming, and one day will come and will be among you and will deal directly with you. But he says, who may abide in the day of his coming? Who shall stand? For he's like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he's bringing out the work or the intensity which with God would work with his people. These are two strong word pictures of the cleansing and refining that the Messiah would bring upon his people. And we get a glimpse of that in the Gospels when Jesus enters directly into the temple and he casts out the merchants and those that are using the temple of God as a business place, and he's cleansing and he's refining and he's bringing, restoring what is right and good. And he says he would, he's as a refiner's fire. The refiner's fire is basically a metaphor or a type of someone who is purifying metal, purifying silver in this case, gold and silver. They would heat gold and silver to high temperatures to purify them, and we'll look at that a little bit more detail later. And fuller soap is a strong soap that they use to cleanse things and to whiten things. And he's saying he's going to work with men, he's going to refine them and purify them. And so we have this example given of Christ working with his people, with mankind, as a refiner does with silver. And this refiner's fire is brought out in other scriptures, and I just listed a few here for interest's sake or to compare. And Jeremiah speaks of it in chapter 13, verses 8 through 9. He says, "And it shall come to pass that in the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." So again, he's using this type of a refiner as how he would work with people and how he's trying to make them better, refining them. Proverbs 17, verse 3, "The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." Again, giving that comparison of God working with men and with our hearts, just as the refiner does with silver and the furnace for gold. Psalm 66, verse 10, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." And so we see this picture of the refiner working with silver, being used as a type or a picture for us to help us understand how God is working with his people or how he desires to work with his people. Now, it's helpful for us to understand a little bit more detail how silver was refined in those days. Silver is rarely found in its pure form. Usually it's mixed with other metals, or it's found in an ore form as an alloy with other metals, maybe with gold or other things, or it could have impurities mixed in. It's rarely found in its pure form. And to get silver refined to something useful in its pure form, the refiner would heat the ore under very high temperatures, which would cause it to melt and cause those metals to separate and the impurities to separate from the silver. Those impurities then rise to the top inside that vessel that's being heated. The impurities rise to the top and form a slag, or what we call dross, on the top. And refiner would sit and scrape that slag or that dross off the top as it came up. He would continue to remove the impurities from the top. And he would continue working that pot of molten metal and continue to bring up those impurities and heat it to the right temperature and keep it in the fire long enough. And I think at times they even introduced a stream of oxygen into it to stir it up and to bring more of the impurities to the top. And continue working and working and scraping the impurities off the top until the pure metal was remaining. The story is told of a silversmith who was showing a new apprentice the basics of the art of refining silver. He talked as he held up a piece of silver to the fire and heated it up. "In refining silver, you've got to hold the silver right in the middle of the fire where the flames are the hottest, so it can burn away all the impurities." The apprentice asked, "Can you walk away while the silver's being fried, or do you have to refine, or do you have to stay with it the whole time?" "You've got to be there the whole time. In fact, you've also got to keep your eyes on the silver the entire time it's in the fire. If you leave it in too long, the metal can be destroyed." "So when do you know the silver's fully refined?" The artisan responded, "I know it's fully refined when I can see my image in it." And so the refiner would remove those impurities until the pure silver was left, until it was a pure, shiny substance, the pure silver, until he could see his image in it. What is the practical parallel for us today? We'll just take a few minutes here to think about a practical parallel of the refiner's fire to my life today. Well, what is the dross? What is the dross in our lives, or those impurities that need to be removed? A few things. Sin and our sinful nature. We all are born with a sinful nature, a tendency to sin. And God needs to work with us to remove that, to conquer that sinful nature, to conquer those faults and flaws in our lives. And that can be considered dross or impurity in our lives. It could be selfishness. You know, that sinful nature springs out in selfishness, and we can become filled with our own plans and our own ambitions and our own agenda and our own reputation and what I want to do with my life. And maybe that's dross and impurities that God needs to remove. It could be selfishness. Could it be apathy or hearts that are cold or maybe lukewarm towards God and His kingdom? We stand between what God wants us to do and what we know is right, and yet what we want to do and what the world is calling us to do. And we want to try and have a foot in both. And we are in a state of apathy, and we're cold towards what God wants us to do. And He needs to remove that. He needs to remove that from our lives. Could it be fear? The dross in our lives could be fear. Things that hold us back from the design and the purpose and the call that God has for our lives. His will for what He wants His people to do. Is it fear? Am I afraid to follow through with God and to give Him, give up my will completely to Him? Am I afraid and have fear of what man will say about me? And there's many things that could come under this point of fear. But God wants us He wants to remove that fear from our lives. He doesn't want us to operate under fear. Fear could be the dross that He needs to remove. And maybe there's more things as you think about your own life. And this message is somewhat to inspire some introspection, to look into your own heart and to see what's there. What does God want to remove from your life? What is He working on in your life? And so we can parallel this refiner's fire to the fact that we are like that ore, that silver ore, that has things mixed in it that need to be removed, that need to be taken out so that we can be purified and be what God wants us to be. How do we experience the refining fire? What could be considered the fire? Or how does that refining work happen in my life? And there's many things here as well that could be. Maybe it's through physical suffering or the onset of old age or a deteriorating body or maybe a physical condition that's just there and just pulls you down. Maybe it could even be terminal illness. But sometimes God reaches into our lives and brings us physical ailments or allows physical ailments as a way of reaching us, as a way of bringing refinement in our lives. Maybe it could be through financial loss or difficulties. You know, sometimes things don't go the way we want them to in the material world. And things can be tough. And even though we live in a good land, sometimes it's difficult. It's at times to make ends meet. And God wants to speak through us in those times. Speak to us in those times and help us to see His work in our lives. Maybe that refining fire is through difficult relationships with other people. Maybe it's a struggle with a brother across the bench from you or a neighbor across the field or a difficult family member. Relationships can be a struggle, and sometimes those things are allowed into our lives for our own refinement. Could it be social rejection, disappointment from others, people letting you down, betraying you? And God wants to speak to you through those times. He wants to use that as a refining fire. Maybe it's through heartache or disappointment, losing something or someone that is close to us. Maybe it's privileges or benefits that we thought we should deserve. We thought that are a normal part of life, and yet they don't seem to be part of our experience. really any circumstance or situation that is beyond our control and beyond our wish or desire could be God bringing a refining fire into our lives. And this fire is usually in experiences that we would consider adverse or negative, things that we don't really like. It's not something we wish to go through. We don't naturally choose to put ourselves in this fire of refinement, but rather it's God bringing these things into our lives. Because he knows that it is in the heat of the fire of refinement that when we feel the most vulnerable and at loss, that sometimes his best work can be done. And when his work can begin in our lives and that dross can be removed and those things that are hindering us or that are making us less than perfect in his kingdom can be removed, can be worked on. And so the question, as we think about this parallel, how does it apply to you in your life? What is God trying to do in your life? What is he trying to remove or make better or purify or refine in your life as you think about the year past? What has God been trying to do with you? Is he refining you? What is the purpose of this refiner's fire? We talked about some of this a little bit before, but I want to go through and give some points specifically on the purpose. What is the purpose of God putting us through these things? Sometimes in the middle of these things, we ask why, and we wonder how this fits into how it could even be good for my life. In fact, sometimes these things can look like they directly get in the way of what we think God wants us to do. What is the purpose? The first one I have, and we've mentioned this before, but is to purify us. Just as that silver needs to be heated up so that those impurities can be brought out and the real, true, pure silver can be brought into together and into a state that can be useful, the impurities are gone. So the refiner's fire is to purify us. And it's through the tests, distresses, and tribulations of life that God can get to our hearts and help us see ourselves for who we are. And like the heat that liquefies that silver, so the refining fire of trying circumstances and whatever God brings into our lives is designed to make our hearts melt and be pliable for him. And it's then that he can help us rely more fully on him and be open to his purifying work and removing that sin and selfishness and apathy and fear and those things we mentioned that are embedded in our lives. You see, when life is going good, we can tend to sense less our dependence on God. And he has maybe less opportunity to work on the needs in our lives. And so he brings that refining fire to help us be open and to help us be pliable. And his goal is to purify us. The second purpose is to produce a refined value for his kingdom. You know, that silver ore I mentioned is not worth much when it's mixed with other rock impurities and other things. It's not worth a lot in that state. And you and I need the lesser things diminished in our lives to be the most value in God's kingdom. And we see that in verses 3 and 4 in our text. He talks about sitting as a refiner and purifying them so that he would restore the value and productivity of the Levites. He says, so that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the former days. He wanted to restore the value that they were to his kingdom. Restore the pleasantness and the righteousness. And so he wants to transform our lives today and restore the value of our lives to his kingdom. Restore the offering that our lives can bring to his kingdom. He wants to realign us on the mission and calling for our lives. And many times it takes adversity to redirect us. We can get off track sometimes on what God really wants us to do and what he has for us to do in his kingdom. And it's through those times of trial and tribulation and questioning that he can have the opportunity to realign us, to restore that value. He uses the refining fire in our lives to restore value. Thirdly, to allow us to reflect his image. The refining fire allows us to reflect his image. Just like that refiner worked and worked with the silver and kept removing the impurities until the surface of that was bright and shiny and reflected his image, so God wants us to reflect his image. You and I are created in the image of God. And we are our purpose is to be the crown of creation and to reflect God's nature and God's image to creation. But sin and our fallen nature have clouded that to the point that we naturally only reflect the ugliness of self and our own sinful nature. And so just as that silversmith kept the silver in the fire until he could see his reflection, so God is refining us until we reflect his image again. Until we show forth God and what he wants us to do, until what comes out of us brings honor and glory to him, and our lives begin to attract others to the kingdom of God, and we show forth his image to those around us, to those around us who are lost and are still clouded by sin and the cares of this life. He wants us to reflect his image to those, and so he keeps us in the fire to allow us to reflect his image. And while we understand sometimes, we can look at this and we can understand the purpose. And we can say, yes, these tough things, I can understand that. And God wants me to go through this. And we can see a purpose. The reality is that the struggles of life are real and they can hurt. And they can cause us sorrow and grief. And so I want to think a little bit yet here in the end, this section I've entitled Enduring the Refiner's Fire. How do we make sure we can endure that refiner's fire? You know, we can tend to try to figure out, maybe it's similar to prying open closed doors, but we can try to figure out how to get rid of the discomfort and the focus on trying to fix the problems in our life or the things that are not going the way we want to. The way we want them to. And these things sometimes don't just go away, and we can be focused on the problem and miss the lesson that God has for us as we go through those things. And sometimes there's situations that we simply, no matter what we do, they're a part of our lives and we can't get rid of them. So how do we endure the fire and allow it to accomplish the purpose that God has for us? Couple things to think about. Number one, we can endure the refiner's fire when we realize that he is working for our good. And sometimes we can have difficulty seeing this. That the work he is doing is for our good. He's working on our hearts, and he's trying to change our attitudes and trying to help us rely on him. And he's intensely interested in our good. And I was inspired by the picture in verse 3 of our text. It says, he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And I get the picture of this refiner and the picture of God sitting down and being intensely focused on the work he's doing. And to me, it indicates a focused interest. He has attention to the task he is doing. He's not leaving. Just like the story of the apprentice and the refiner. You can't leave, and you don't leave the silver in longer than what's good for it. And we have God sitting there intensely interested in the work he's doing because he's doing it for our good. It indicates to me commitment to see the work through. God has his eye on that silver, on you and me, the whole time. He doesn't set and forget. He doesn't put us in things and forget it. But rather, he's there all the time and with us as he's allowing us to go through these things. And he will complete his work if we allow it. He is seeking our good spiritually, and he desires to bring us closer to him. The verse from Jeremiah that I read in the beginning, if you remember, that it ended like this. As he brought those people through the refining fire and purified them and made them better, the result was this. He said, they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And so his goal is that he is making a people, and that we would recognize him as our God, and that that relationship would be restored and be made better. He is working for our good. Secondly, we can endure the refiner's fire when we understand that he will not allow it to consume us. You know, at times in the trials of life, we feel overwhelmed and maybe even consumed by the distress and adversity. But his fire will not destroy us like a forest fire or consume us like an incinerator, but rather the intent of the fire is to refine us and make us better, to get rid of that dross and those things that need removed. It's for refinement, not destruction. And down here, down a verse or two here in Malachi that we didn't read, well, actually the next verse, verse 5, I believe he says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And so we can be assured of this promise that, that God is who he is, and he is not going to destroy us, but rather he is making, he's putting us through the fire of refinement, not a fire of destruction, because we are his children. We are his sons. We are assured of this promise because we are his children. It is a fire of love and not destruction. Thirdly, we can endure the refiner's fire if we choose not to reject his work in our lives. We can be tempted to give up, to choose the easy road out. But if we turn, if we make a conscious decision to turn away from God and his teachings, to ignore his convictions when we do wrong, to live in rebellion to his ways, we are rejecting the refiner's fire. Rather, we need to submit and surrender our lives to the difficulty and the work that he is trying to do. And we can endure the refiner's fire if we choose to submit and not reject. Job had this to say, and we know Job went through a lot of things, much more difficult than we go through. He said this, Job 23, verses 9 through 11, "On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined." And so this was Job's testimony. He said it's not often very clear what God's doing. In fact, it seems like he's over here, but I can't find him. He's over here, but I can't behold him. He's hiding himself over here, but I know he's working. And he says, I know he's working on my life, and when I come through, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so he had faith in what God was doing, and he didn't reject that work. But rather, he kept doing what he knew was right. My foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. He kept doing what he knew was right, even in the midst of extreme trials. And he recognized these trials as a refining fire. Fourthly, we can endure the refiner's fire when we count it as a joyful thing. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And this goes against our natural inclination. We don't often find joy in the tough things. But he says, count it as joy because you know God is working. And you know that God is trying to accomplish something, and he's trying to produce patience in your life. And when that work is complete, that you will be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The silver is made pure. It's reflecting the image of God. It's accomplishing what its purpose is. It has value. And we can find joy in the fact that God is working in our lives. 1 Peter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Again, another verse encouraging us. Don't think it strange that you go through tough things. Don't think it strange that you go through trials. But rather rejoice, because Christ suffered. And that we are partaking, when we partake in his sufferings, we can also then look forward to partaking in the joy that he has for us in the future. And so we can endure the refiner's fire when we choose joy. In closing, I want to read, you can turn to Psalm 27. As I thought about the work that God tries to do or is doing in our lives and the tough things that he brings us through, I was drawn to this psalm as an encouragement. I want to end with an encouragement for us to allow God's work in our lives and not to be discouraged. I want to let the words of this psalm be an encouragement to you as you see God's care for you, even in the midst of the refining fires that he might be allowing in your life. And there's a few verses that stood out to me. Verse 10 especially says this: when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now, father and mother are some of the closest relationships we have. And yet in this experience or this verse, it gives the picture of when those close relationships are severed or someone forsakes you. A very tough experience. He says the Lord will take you up. Just the blessing that it is that God is there as a father, willing to take us up in those tough times. And verse 14, he ends this psalm, which we'll read this, but we'll highlight these verses. Verse 14, he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And many times, as we go through these things, we simply need to wait. He wants to teach us to wait on him. And the waiting is hard. The waiting is tough. And maybe this is just me, but I like to see progress and things change and we keep things moving and keep going. And waiting is hard. And sometimes he wants to teach us in these tough things to wait on him and to wait on the Lord so that he can strengthen us. Let's read this psalm. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so may those words be an encouragement to you as you reflect on what God has done in your life in the past year, and as you look forward to what God is going to do in the coming year. John 16, verse 33 says this: these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so we know that Jesus, that is our friend, is also the one who has overcome. And we can have good cheer even in the midst of troubles and tribulations, because we know he is the ultimate victor and he has overcome. May God bless you as you continue serving him, as you move forward in another year and put your faith and trust in him and allow him to bring that refining fire if he desires, that you may experience the refining work of God so that you might be of better service and of more use to him. God bless you. Let's pray.